Blog Talk Radio.
All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Paragon Radio. I'm your host, as always, Pogo Man. It's Monday night, a little bit past 8 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States, planet Earth. and we're broadcasting live from the Paragon Radio News Satellite at a high orbit of 0.0167 feet above sea level. You figure that one out. And I get by with a little help from my friends, especially this one. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. Some people say, well, I'm not going to say, I can't say that on TV or on radio, as this case may be. We just call him Mad Viking.
And once again, baby boomers, Generation X, Generation Y, we got a double whammy today from Hollywood. Two stars passed away today. First one, Lisa Loring, the original Wednesday Addams, passed away. And just a few minutes ago, the notice came out. Cindy Williams, Shirley Feeney of Laverne and Shirley, passed away.
Oh. So, folks, and bow your heads. Mm-hmm. Bow your heads. Moment of silence while we send them off to the stars. Displays. Oh, there we go.
Was it for Lisa Loring, Christina Ricci, and all those who followed after her, wouldn't had the major success of the Addams Family, playing Wednesday Addams, and of course Shirley Feeney, Cindy Williams,
yep.
Laverne and Shirley history. Also, if memory serves me right, she was an American Graffiti.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't she also on? Wait, what shows did you say?
I said Laverne and Shirley. No, yeah. Laverne and Shirley and American Graffiti.
Oh, well, wait. Right. Oh, you mean her? Right. Lisa Loring, though, I think was on Law and Order.
I'm not sure about that. I can't say one way or another.
I'll look that up really quick.
Matt?
Right, but yes.
Yeah, Richie Cunningham's girlfriend.
Yes.
Yep, that episode, yep.
And that was a spinoff. That started the spinoff to it.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Loring. Known for, oh, good Lord.
One of the more funnier episodes of Laverne and Shirley, I remember, Shirley got knocked out and had amnesia. She thought she was a stripper. So she's right here practicing her dance moves, you know. And right. There's the Laverne DeFazio. How can she shake her butt? How can she bump and grind? She ain't got no tushy.
Right. Nope, somebody else I was thinking. Oh, no. You know what I'm thinking of? The one from the Adam Partridge Family. Never mind. Partridge Family, yep.
Yeah, and you were saying Patty Duke? No, she died in 2016. I just saw it.
Oh, so my mom was telling me Patty Duke died this weekend. I'm like, huh?
Nope.
I'll tell her that later.
Yep, missed it by 7 years.
Yeah, I was
wasn't
like,
even
what are you talking about?
It was 7 years.
I'm texting her now. I'm going to text her now. And so they go, what? Oh, it has worked because she made a big deal about it today. I'm like, I thought she died ages ago. I'm like, what are you talking about, Ma?
Yeah. But, you know, baby boomers and Gen X are going like, okay, we are now feeling old. The people that we grew up on TV, one by one, is starting to pass away.
She probably meant somebody else. Cause... Okay.
And we have Ash Wednesday in tribute.
That's right.
We also have Nova Sue, hello, on City of Heroes. And we have Mordecai, Alan, Clarence Smith, and Num-Num Silver Egret over here on Champions in the WCOC.
That's right. Everybody's come out to pay tribute today. And we don't need a Patty Duke tribute because that was like 7 years too late.
Yeah. The thing is, we all know there's three. We had two today.
Well, hey, why am I running? Hey. Holy shit.
You were trying to recreate the walk, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The
Shamil, Shamazel, Mazel Tov. How's it go, Shamil, Shamazel? I was about to say Mazel Tov. I'm like, that's not it. I can never get the line after that. I just remember they put the glove on top of the bottle. So, all right. So we had some sad news. Now we have much rejoicing over the weekend. Apparently, I say apparently because I want to see this in writing. Apparently, Wizards of the Coast, from all the petitions, which I happen to sign the petition, Wizards of the Coast has gone back to the original open gaming license.
Loosely translated, if you will.
Yeah. Loosely translating, they ain't getting shit from nobody. They just go, oh, we were just trying to protect ourselves. No.
You were already protected. Greedy.
Yeah. That's what the original OGL, that's what the OGL was. No. You wanted Critical Role's money. You didn't realize Critical Role was going to make that much money. You saw all these people making money up the wazoo, and you wanted to get your hands in the pocket. You wanted Matt Mercer to...
You screwed up the third edition.
Yeah, well, that's what it was, because third edition sucked. So they started playing. That's what happened. 3 and 3.5 people started playing Pathfinder until fifth edition came out. And they said, fifth edition's not that bad. And everybody started playing Pathfinder. So by that point, you know, people, that's when they started playing D&D, but the OGL was there. The open gaming license was there. Seriously, the only thing good that was good about 3.5. And the only thing good about 3.5, D&D 3.5, the D20 system was in place, and you allowed people to make games based off that system. And every other game was making more money than D&D at that point, including Pathfinder. Pathfinder back then, from what I heard, Pathfinder was supposed to be better than D&D back then, from what I heard. I never played it, but.
Well, I was a player to 2.1. When they went to that transistor to 3.0, I had the CD disc. I put it in the computer. I tried to make heads and tails of this. I'm like, is this? And I never looked back. For those who don't know, back then, they actually had a CD character created to take whatever characters you had and changed it to 3.0.
Oh, was that what that was?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought that was just...
Yeah, as well as make new ones, of course.
I thought that was just... Hold on a minute.
Way back in the day...
Hold on.
Windows 3.1.
I thought that was just a character creator for the new game. I thought that was weird.
Yeah, like I said, it created characters for 3.0, as well as took whatever existing ones you had and did the translation.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
But it was,
silly
I was
me.
Like, me and I know a whole lot of people went, so long and thanks for all the fish.
Yeah. Well, I know back then I was doing the RPGA, and unfortunately, I was going to ICON every year, and you had to a certain date to, somebody told me you had until a certain date to get your characters done for 3.0. And I was like, ugh.
I mean, the fact that they put it on a CD and so you could, so they could try to tell you, that should have said they really screwed up.
Well, here's the thing. I played a bard in 2.0 for RPGA. Did you see what they did to the bard class in 3.0? Basically, it was like this. Oh, yeah, we're taking away everything cool about the bard, and we're giving you a bunch of skills. Yes, as many skills as you want. Gee, thanks. No extra languages, just skills. Skills up the fucking wazoo. But we're taking away your spells. Oh, remember those thieving abilities you had in 2.0? Yeah, those are gone too. Fuck. So I'm a glorified musician? Yes! Yes, that's what you are now. Fuck.
Well, that's good if you want to be Keith Moon, you know. Just your attack is you trip, you fall on the drums and let the drums attack.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. I was like, if I remember right, I was like, holy shit.
Or, Jimi Hendrix, swing the guitar, burn the guitar. Or you could do Paul Stanley, smash the guitar.
Hold on. What do you have, a bag of holding? What's in there? 100 sharp-edged guitars. Why? They double as my axe. No, literally, my axe. What are you doing? Oh, hold on. Hold on. I get a half phase where I light them on fire, and then I just take a swing. You know they're gonna break. You know they're gonna break. That's the point. Yes,
yep.
That's the point. I have to look up. I have to look up the 3.0 bar to make sure I didn't miss anything. But when I saw that, I was just like, "Huh? What?" But actually,
like,
my
group. But like I said, once they did that, I said, no, thank you. I was done.
I had it. It was, well, my group had split up already, but I had no desires. Matter of fact, the Wheel of Time series was out, and I bought the Wheel of Time role-playing book. And we actually did a session. Time. And actually, to be fair, at this point, I was playing Warhammer 40K.
Mm-hmm. And to give you an idea. The first two that they did for 3.0 were the big ones. Tomb of Horrors.
What, the first two?
Missions to do. They did
the first modules, yeah.
Tomb of Horrors and the Temple of Elemental Evil.
Wow.
And it's like,
they redid
it's like character players suck. Our NPCs... You thought these things will kill you once you enter the room? You won't even get to the door. You'll be killed.
Because I remember that
grass.
I remember friends of mine had the Temple of Elemental Evil. We never played. I never did either of those. Tomb of Horror.
Oh yeah.
I remember hearing about it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I did, and you go in, you die.
Yeah. Oh, well.
This is not something you want to start any character that has a single-digit number. I don't care what they say.
Oh, no.
You want
no, the Toma Horrors is supposed to be a high... Toma Horrors is a high-level game, is a high-level mission.
No, but, you know, they started off as a... They have the build-up for both. There was a build-up for the Tomb of Horrors, and there was a build-up for the Temple of Elemental Evil. And you could have low-level characters there. So now, you're going like, we could take this!
No, hold on, hold on. I'm looking this up now. Because I remember... Hold on, I'm just looking this up. Hold on.
You know, if anyone said the Tomb of Horrors were easy and the Temple of Elemental was easy, meant the DM sucked. These were the two adventures that you said, oh, you think you're that good, huh? You think nothing can hurt you. Okay.
The Tomb of Horrors should be... No, Tomb of Horrors should be like levels 10 through 14.
Right. But if you remember, there was a precursor adventure to the Tomb of Horrors.
No, I never did it. I never did those ones.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I did. As well as it was a precursor to the temple.
And what's the other one? Tomb of Horrors? Oh, the Temple of Elemental Evil.
And don't even start with a hand of anything to do with Vecna.
Oh, no.
Now, I'm curious because... that to remind me. And I was going to look, and I'm going to do it now because I heard rumor... That I just want to check here. The new D&D movie. All right, the new D&D movie that will be coming out soon. It, for the longest time, it was teased to be Vecna.
No, that's Stranger Things you're thinking of. And that's not really Vecna. That's just the name they gave him. So.
No, well, I mean, in the lore
of
D&D, there is the hand and eye of Vecna.
Oh, yes, 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 of course.
So, yeah. But, yeah.
The Temple of Elemental Evil, that's supposed to be like level 1 through 7 for some reason, but...
Guess what?
I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why. And we need to jump again. I don't know why.
Especially that in order to defeat it, you got to go to the elemental planes. When do you when do you get any of the powers that says you can survive the elemental planes? Not at 7.
Maybe it's 11 through 17. Maybe it's 11. I don't know. I have to look at this.
I mean, I remember being 7th level. I was excited for that fireball.
Here's me at 5th level mage. I got fireball. I'm fucked.
Then again, you know, the people that I ran with when we were doing this in Florida, we had our own... slogan, you know, our battle cry. We're brave.
What?
We're adventurers.
There was in Dragon Magazine a great, you know how they had the in the back, the comic strips, and they had the one picture ones.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was one of the fighters, nicks, cuts, arrows going through the helmets. Great fighters, poor dice rollers. And one of my friends goes, that's us. I was like, yep. Because seriously, we were great. It was just, fuck. It's like, can anybody hit tonight? I swear to God, if one of us just hits this fucker, he's going down. And it's like, because he would min-max. It's like, dude, would you just, like, we tried Dark Sun one night. And he, like, for a while we did this campaign. And you looked at his stats. It's like, okay, this is prehistory of this planet. And I point to this map. Over here, you see this forest? Once he got there, you see, I want to show you guys something. And he put this green thing up. Over here, there used to be forest. And then he got there because he wheeled like these double axes. He got here. And all you heard was, ying, 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 ying. And then it was gone. And you had this giant great desert. And everybody started cracking up. Because it was something like somehow he min-maxed himself to get like 8 attacks around. It's like, fuck, seriously? And I was playing the swashbuckler. And at the end of the campaign, the DM said he actually liked my character better because I had substance. Him, he was just like, we read them up and let him go. And I was like, oh. But that's all he did. That was his character. Meanwhile, my character had style, substance. I had fighting styles, you know, like cool shit I did. Like, I could leap, parry, you know, backflip off a table, do all the, you know, kick the table over, do all
spin,
the
thrust.
Yeah, do all the shit. Him, destroy the whole bar. I'm like, you know, backflip, parry, you know, do the thing, jump from one table, kick it over, catch a glass of wine, kick, you know, catch the goblet of wine in my offhand, drink it. fine, okay. Set it down on a chair, you know, continue fighting, you know, blocking and parrying the other guy while I'm drinking it. Him. Just destroying everything else in the place. Like, jeez.
Yeah, right.
Like,
so, yeah.
Shit.
Which brings us to a good segue.
Oh,
here's
Mordecai. Wait. Mordecai says, I kind of miss P&P sessions. I haven't done one since 2004. Mordecai, here's your chance. We're getting together a D&D group for 5th edition. So far, it's me, Mad Viking, and Alto.
And if Alto has his way, it'll be called the Crayon Cartel.
Here's the deal. I just don't want a super group with the name Cartel. It kind of gives the wrong impression. A D&D group? Yeah.
Yeah, but can you imagine the thief here? Hold on, let me put this map here. Opens up the 64 Crayola box with the sharpener in the back.
Oh, that's kind of Deadpoolish, making a map. Let me make the map with crayon. Yes, our map is made with crayon. Don't hold it against us. And actually, Alto's playing a dwarf. So, yes, the dwarf bard has made the map out of crayons. So. Well, yeah. It's going to be from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturdays, Eastern
Sundays.
Time.
Sundays.
Sundays? Sundays? Saturdays. No, I thought you said
Saturday's
Saturday.
Saturday's the race.
No. One day of the month, we're going to take off for the race.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind.
Right, remember? Never, right.
Never mind.
Psh, psh, psh. Stop. Come here. Where's that slap emote I need? Come here. Psh,
psh, psh. Wrong game.
Wrong. All right. Ah, I'll get you over here. Hold on. Did you ever do thing where you said...
Well, dude,
with
because
those
you're
two
A-OK
slaps?
Already.
Already? Jeez, I just did it before I came. Did you ever do the two slap emotes? How people, you had the left hand and the right hand, and people do the slap fights? Psh, psh, psh. They don't have this.
I don't know if I want to bring up the next subject I was telling you about because controversy.
Well,
it is about gaming.
Go on.
Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, geez.
It is the number one anticipated game of 2023. It has outsold everything to date. Last year, it was the number one anticipated game.
Hold on. No, that's not true.
Oh.
Was it MMORPG?
No, not MMORPG. It, like I said, a game. Right?
Oh,
computer
because because AEW has a console game coming out that was the number one rated console game coming out.
No,
it was supposed to come out at the end of December. No, no, hold on. It was supposed to come out at the end of December, right? They pushed it back to April. So somebody made fun of the cover and goes, AEW Wait Forever took all the wrestlers that were on the cover and made them as senior citizens. And I thought it was funny. And everybody thought it was funny as all hell.
Yeah, Marcus, Hogwarts Legacy is the most awaited game, not Final Fantasy 16 or Spider-Man 2. It's been in all the articles that I've been reading. And there is a small, minuscule group of people that are saying, don't get this game! Because of the comments.
Yeah, you know why? You know why they're saying
don't get it? I know why.
Because they're the ones who couldn't pre-order it. So they figure, if these people don't get the game, when the game comes out, I could just walk in and go, oh, look, there's plenty of copies for me. Thank you. Walking
no,
out.
No, it hasn't because of that, unfortunately. If it was only that simple. If it was only that simple.
Yeah, right.
It is because these small, minute group are complaining about J.K. Rowling's comments of a certain area. And
Do tell.
Yeah. All right. Her stance on trans. Now, mind you.
Her trans stand?
Her trans stand. Yeah. Now, mind you, this is the same person that got in trouble on a small, minute group of anyone on the right side because she made Dumbledore gay. We all remember this. And for the exception of the Bible thumpers, they were all going, he's gay? Huh. Okay.
Well,
when's the next movie?
I don't know. I don't know if you know this, but I am trans.
You're trans?
I'm trans age. I now associate as a 27-year-old. Thank you.
Oh,
that's
Jesus.
All. One of my friends yesterday, he tells me he's trans money. I'm like, go on. He goes, I'm a trans billionaire. I associate, even though I'm middle class, I associate as a billionaire. I was like, are you going to pay tax? He goes, no, billionaires don't pay taxes. I'm calling the IRS. He goes, I have tax shelters. I'm like, the only tax shelter you have is your commode. Who are you kidding?
But, and the thing is, as much as these people complain, just like when Dumbledore was gay, it's not stopping the true fans of Harry Potter, true gamers. It's not stopping them. In fact, it's encouraging it.
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because you see how I just said about the trans age and trans money and all that shit? This trans shit has to stop. It's getting fucking ridiculous.
My point is, the people that want to play the game, they are more wanting to have fun because they love the Harry Potter series. Or,
yes! Yes!
They grew up with it. They read the books. They've seen the fan art. They've done the cosplay. Try to make a Quidditch team. And I actually know a few people that tried. It kind of looks silly when you see people trying to run around on brooms. But I got to give them credit. They go for it. But
hold on. Is Alan in real life a trans bear? Does he actually associate with being a teddy bear?
But like I said, the main point is these are people that are not interested whether Dumbledore is gay or J.K. Rowling has a particular version on trans. They don't care about that. They're going like, this looks like a kick-ass game. Look at these graphics. Look at the spells we can do. We could choose, you know, we have to do the little test to find out from the sorting hat which school we can be in. And you can rig it in a way, from what I'm hearing on some of these YouTube videos, you know, if you want to try to be evil, you want to try to be Slytherin, you want to try to be Gryffindor, so you can get the whole game experience.
Right.
And it's supposed to happen 100 years before the Harry Potter series.
So how many years before you shall not be named does his thing?
Well, 100 years.
No, you said 100 years before the series. The series doesn't start with he who shall not be named.
All right, so we'll say 80 or 90, okay?
No. I think about 80. Yeah, about 80. Okay.
Okay. You know, but like I said, you know, that's what these people are interested in. And they're saying you are supporting killing trans. No, they are supporting something they like. If you are love your Star Wars, you're going to buy Star Wars.
I'll tell you why.
If you like Star Trek, you're going to buy a whole lot of Star Trek stuff.
Right. Well, but I'll tell you why. In the Harry Potter universe, there's no trans. They never fucking mention it.
Well, like I said, you know, this is the same category. I see it when it was back when you had people on the one side of the political spectrum complaining that Dumbledore is gay. You know what happened?
Right.
Not a whole lot. You had more Bible thumpers were thumping their Bibles a little bit harder. Okay. That was it. After that, movies kept on, did great. Books were kept going, did great. Came to the seat of the new series, the Wizard, the American version, did great.
What the hell is going on around here? Didn't we just do this like a minute ago?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, shit.
You know, it even survived the Donnie Depp thing. It was like, to all these people that are, you know, saying that this is the reason why you should not buy the game. No, now if you told me the game sucks.
The game sucks.
You're able to prove that it sucks. Okay,
oh.
Then I might be listening to you. You played the game. You didn't. You went. You did an imitation of Mr. Horse. No, sir, I didn't like it. But the game's not even out yet.
I played the game. It sucks. No, sir, I didn't like it. Who said that?
Supposed to be coming out what? February the 10th.
I don't know.
Yeah, February the 10th. I think it is. So. My, if you have no opinion, you know, and you want to play the game, go get the game. See if you like it. If you like it, great. I want to hear it. If you don't like it, tell me why you are not happy about the game because you played the game and you went, I did not like how they handled it. You know, it was glitchy. It kept crashing. Or they got some of the storyline wrong. You know, there was a few holes in the plot. I'll take those as an answer. Don't give me this because we've been through this before. What was it? I think it was like the second or the third movie is when they dropped that bomb on Dumbledore. And guess what?
Wait, they dropped a bomb on Dumbledore?
Well, the Dumbledore being gay, that's what I'm pointing out.
Oh.
And guess what? Didn't phase a thing. Didn't do a thing. Just like Star Wars, Star Trek, Harry Potter, it's a juggernaut. Boy, are they trying to ruin Lord of the Rings, but you can't get past, you know, the originals.
Right. Hold on, Mordecai.
There you go.
There's simple thing to do
when
you don't like something and people forget about it because social media encourages them to talk as if everyone won their opinions. Just shut up, move on. If you don't like it, just move on. I don't know why people got to harp on it. Just if you don't like it, yeah, exactly. Just shut up and move on.
You know,
okay.
Give me a reason. You know, the faulty programming, storyline sucks. We've seen games where there's been bugs in the system, and it annoys the living hell out of us. We've seen where storylines go, but wait a minute. And guess what? And, you know, those are reasons to say it sucks. That's when you could go, hey, that's it. Done with that. Ask Wednesday goes, I'm lactose intolerant. So I'm a Hufflepuff. Someone remembers their YouTube memes. you know, it just, like I said, it just annoys me. The game's not even out. They now, I'll take it back. With like a week or two ago, they let people do, you know, drop for the pre-orders to get in early. And they've been flying around, and they've been walking around, exploring the area. Haven't heard one bad thing yet about the game graphics, the game handling, the storyline. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard one in that category yet. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. No game is perfect. We know this. We played enough games all through the years that we could point out some faults. We can go all the way back to the Pac-Man. If you were actually able to get Pac-Man all the way up to a certain level, that's when the screen goes, and you're done.
Right.
And let me tell you, you know, to learn those. I still remember the pattern for the first main one. After that, oh God, I'm blank. But in the 80s, yeah, you couldn't stop me. When my kids were young and I got a Pac-Man for the PlayStation 2, and I'm like, oh, let me show you how it's done. Like, how did you do that?
Mm-hmm. I remember my nephew. He was playing, what, Pac-Man World, and it was like he was a 3D character. And
right.
I'm sitting there going, you know, in my day, he was a 2D character, and he ran through a maze, and that was it. And he goes, oh, I found this bonus game. And it was the original. He goes, what is this? And me and his mom, who was my stepsister, we said, that's the original Pac-Man. He goes, I can't do this. And I'm saying, give me the controls. And my stepsister goes, give it to your uncle. And I'm like, yes. And he's looking and goes, what? And he's totally confused, totally disgusted. He goes, what is this? And we're going, it's the original Pac-Man. This is what I was talking about. He goes, this is the original Pac-Man? Ah! And I got him through it. It was just one level. And he goes, I was like, see, this is what we're talking about, how much he's different now. He goes, how did you guys play games back then? It's like, ugh. This is when games first started, and we loved it. We still love it.
Did you know that centipede, you play a garden gnome defending his garden? Yeah, I do remember that one. It's one of the latter versions. Yeah, but yeah.
Wait. That's what you're playing a garden? I always wonder what you're playing in that game. I thought you were just playing a gardener defending it. I didn't know what the hell you were playing in that. I love that game, but I didn't know what you were playing.
I forget which one of the versions you actually saw the garden gnome. I know it was one of the console games.
Probably second one, Centipede 2.
Yeah. No.
I never knew that. Because even on the side of the cabinet, you never saw what you were playing. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. I love that game, but I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah, it was like, I remember it was one of those where you had to enter the code, this, you know, up, down, left, you know, not the Konami code, but, you know, some kind of series of buttons.
Probably up, up, down, down, left, left, right, right, A, A, B, B for the home game. And then, oh, I never knew that.
But there you go here. If you are a fan of Harry Potter, if you love the Wizarding World, from what I've seen, go for it. If you're curious, take a look at it.
I just looked up the third edition Bard.
Oh, boy.
Now
he's going to be depressed again.
No, it wasn't as bad, but you don't get your thieving abilities. Your spells only go up to sixth level. You get bardic music, You get Counter Song. You get something. It's not as bad, but compared to second edition, yeah, it's bad. It's just... But fifth edition, oh my God. I remember, because of Critical Role, I got the fifth edition. I remember looking through the players. I'm like, let me see how bad this sucks. Dude, I made a list of how many character classes I wanted to play. I was like, all right, I know it's been like years since I played the game. Like Morty says, 2004. I didn't play since the end of 1999. You know, like I got the books, but I was like, oh, I was thoroughly depressed. And like I played the Wheel of Time, but like we played like once or twice, but holy shit.
I mean, I was
like, I remember going.
I was doing the yearly subscription to Dragon and Dungeon magazines. You know,
okay.
I had like several milk carts. So he's going like, oh, you want to try this one? Which Dragon magazine? Okay, all right. Now I can catch up and know what you're doing.
Right. Yeah. I forgot when. I think, yeah, right about the point they went to third edition, I stopped buying Dragon altogether.
Yeah, it was out. Like I said, I was done. Now, I finished out the subscription. And
okay.
You saw for a short time they were had the settings for 2 and 3. So you saw the comparisons. I'm like,
right.
Are you kidding me?
But I know for a while, I know when I went to Icon, they had panels. How are you getting ready for 3.5? Like, they have 3.5 already? And then a couple years later, they had 4. And I said, maybe still play 2. And a lot of people in the room, when I said it, because we were sitting on comic book panels, they were all D&D players. Like, dude, no exaggeration. I got the 3 books. It's like, you're not missing anything from 3.5. I'm still playing. I said, I was like, play 2.0 with the play second edition with the option books, because you're not kidding, dude. I still play in Greyhawk. I don't even play in Forgotten Realms. We still play in Greyhawk. We have our map. We had it laminated. We're still doing an awesome, because one of the books I never got with the options was the DM's book. It's high level campaign, takes you to level 30.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, yeah, we're still doing. As a matter of fact, he goes, if you had the first edition, right?
Right.
It never had, if you remember, if you look, it had the plus at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You could keep going up and up and up. And
yep.
They told you could add on. They said they never got that book. He goes, but they said we homebrewed from the first edition to second. Our characters keep going on. He goes, we're like level 50. I was like, holy shit. Cause I was like, damn. He goes, oh yeah, we've made up shit. He goes, basically we have a guy who, he goes, so what the hell are you guys fighting? He goes, ancient dragons. I'm like, damn. He goes, some nights we just role play, and you know, sometimes we role play and we're taking on like, he goes, he had the original D's Demigods book. I was like, I have that one. He goes, oh, that's so cool. And some players like, really? I was like, yeah, the one with the Cthulhu and the Lankmarsh stuff that got, you know, that they had to go back and
snap them.
Yeah, because for people who don't know, I've mentioned this once or twice on the show.
And
they ran articles on Mythos and Deities in Dragon magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't know, back in the early days, way back when, and I didn't even know this, that they were allowed to do this because it was a monthly publication and they had a certain circulation number. Okay, fine, you can run that. It was like $2, I think, $3 for the magazine back then,
mm-hmm.
at most. So fine, and they got a certain percentage. Well, now they took all those articles, because I guess they thought they had the rights to do it, put him in a hardcover book. That sold for much more. And these books, if they didn't sell, sat on bookshelves for an undetermined amount of time. Well, the attorneys of the estates found out, says, no. No. Because you made X amount more copies, selling them for, let's say, 10 to 20 times X amount more money without our permission. See, this is why I believe in studying IP law. Because intellectual property said when we signed the contract for the magazine article, you can use our stuff for said magazine article only for that one publication issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. You never bothered to get our permission. Sorry, somebody sent me a note. We never pushed the issue on or addressed the issue on putting it in a hardcover publication that would go to the bookstores and sit there, not on a magazine rack. So there you go. That's a different animal altogether. And those are different copyrights involved. So they quickly had to pull. Luckily, we got a copy of that before they got pulled.
Hmm. Oh, yes. You see, now that's you see what I was talking about with game bugs in the game? Silver Egret, the game crash bug on Champions.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, people are still here on Champions, but goddamn, come on, that crash has been there ever since I signed up on this game.
Oh, yeah.
The damn bug.
They have a skeleton crew, and they only have a skeleton crew working on this game.
So, you know, like I said, there's a, you know, there's a complaint. Sooner or later, if you stand around for, you know, and you want to chat with people and all that, if you don't do anything, for some reason, the game will crash on you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so one of my friends who wants to play D&D, he
all
just
right.
sent me a note.
Okay.
Because now he's thinking of playing in a Haragon. This is a rabbit type creature. A Haragon.
Right. Okay.
It's a rabbit humanoid. He goes, well, I'm going to play Haragon. We could really push Alice in Wonderland backstory. On the run, stolen something from the Red Queen. Alice wants me dead as well. Just give me some ideas. That's kind of cool.
Someone tell the Bunny Night crew, we got bunny girls.
Yeah.
Bunny girls are on D&D. Okay.
Yeah, they're called Haragons. They look like, think of what's his name?
White Rabbit? Bugs Bunny?
I was gonna say the Rabbit Samurai from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Kojimbo?
Kojimbo
or something like that.
Yeah, Kojimbo.
We will be corrected very soon. I know this.
Any second now.
We're waiting for it.
Alan Mordekaiser or somebody in the coalition chat and CEO is going to correct us in like 5 seconds. Or I'm going to look it up.
Well, you better hit the button to tell the library people in about 6 minutes we're up to them.
They know. They're waiting. They're licking their chops. They know.
Mordekaiser goes on 14. They have the Viera play rabbit folks. And the Loperids, which is a tribe of cute moon bunnies.
Oh, okay. why are we going to jump for? I'm typing. I know. I'm tired.
Because you didn't hit send.
Well, damn it. I mean, I'm moving now. What the hell?
Not enough. Doesn't count if you just go. See, that's another bug. Now, we can complain about that. There you go.
Oh, we got the name all wrong.
How bad did we
screw
it up?
I looked at Miyamoto Usagi.
Miyamoto Usagi.
Miyamoto Usagi.
Yosaki.
Is a character. Is a character I was thinking of in TMNT.
And there's a whole bunch of TMNT fans that are going like, blasphemy! You know. Well, he wasn't really highlighted in the cartoons, okay? We'll use that as an excuse.
Oh, wait. Or, wait. Actually, Yojimbo. Usagi Yojimbo is the world he's from. But Miyamoto Usagi is the name of the character. He's the main protagonist of the Usagi. No problem. He's the main protagonist of the Usagi Yojimbo comic book series. Well,
like I said, I'm waiting to hear blasphemy.
Okay, I thought that was his name. I didn't know that was the name of the world. Pardon fucking me.
Hey, we got part of
it. Everybody
knew
what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, I know. I got part of it. Jeez. Hey, that's... Jeez. Bless. Everybody knew what I was talking about. God, damn. You know, it's Miyamoto Usagi. Who part fucking me? You're fucking Christ, all right. Jesus Christ. Actually, I think I'm going to make, you know, I'm gonna make Pogo Bunny. I'm going to make that costume.
All right, well, we're up to getting up to that
2 minutes.
Time. Yep.
It's almost that time. Hold on. I gotta tell him he could be like Miyamoto Usagi.
Point out and remember here. If you're listening now and you have some people going like, I keep missing it on when he does this live. Tell them you can go to that same link, and you can listen to the episode and download it.
That's right.
They're all downloadable. A whole lot of people, I'll admit, are in the now, give it to me now category. And, you can download and, store it, so you can listen to it later if you can't get to it.
That's right. Okay, but...
I just think, you can play Comic Book Guy. Well, a while back ago, 2 years episode, you said that this was this. Why are you changing your mind now? Worst... Back, come back ever. You have that chance to do that.
Look, man, I just go by what the books say. And speaking of books, it's time.
Oh, boy.
It's time that we go to the tomb. I had it right the first time. They're bringing me the tome from the tomb.
That's what I mean. They're doing it in that step instead of the usual tribute to Sidney.
Oh, isn't that good? Okay. I'm worried one night they're going to do like River Dance, and which is silly because they float, they hover, so. Okay, here we go. Oh, wait, I got to do my usual. So, through the history of comic books and superheroes, there have been many, many noteworthy supervillains. Dr. Doom. Thanos. Darkseid. Galactus. Red Skull. Magneto. Lex Luthor. Some of the Batman villains.
So?
Flash is Rogue Gallery. Huh? Who?
So? Joker.
What? Joker. I said that Joker. When I said Batman's villains. Yes, Batman's villains. Don't single them out. But if any of the ones I read tonight happen to be your arch nemesis, you need an upgrade. For tonight, I bring you oddball criminals from comic book history. For they are members of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. And we start off with the Golden Age. Ah, this, he, him, it, is an enemy of the Black Raiders. Now, you know, with a name like the Black Raiders, you'd figure this would be a hero. But this villain was created by Bill Wolfolk and George Appel. He debuted in Power Comics number 3 of Narrative Comics, August 1945. Today's special, 2-for-1 murder and half off all arson. Very interesting. His quote, the whole plan sells for a special cut rate price of $5,000. The villain's name, the crime merchant, the Golden Age. Organized crime is, at its core, a business. Criminals must balance income and expenses. Be sure to provide for the tools. Wow, my voice carried. Tools. I don't know what happened there. It got away from me. Be sure to provide for the tools and materials and fund expenditures and research and human resources. It's only natural, therefore, that organized crime should spawn its own specialized mogul. Enter shrewd, tight-fisted, utterly ruthless Shylock Green, a.k.a. the crime merchant. Even before he takes up a full-time criminal career, Green is a businessman who skirts the edges of fair play. We'll cut salaries to the bone, he declares during one heated meeting. Other tactics include underselling his rivals and then raising prices when he's cornered the market. His shady antics encourage competitors to turn the tables on Green, leaving him penniless. But the clever, sinister Green isn't beaten yet. Crime? No one's organized that field, he announces. Why shouldn't Shylock Green become the crime merchant? Oh, Shylock, you're way ahead of the game. Rhetorical question. Setting up business in a morbidly appointed salon whose charming decor includes a hollow skull vase holding tulips and another that serves as an ashtray. Green soon draws a seedy clientele. It warts on the comic book cover, too. My stepfather has one of those skull ashtrays. Signs above his desk market his wares. Buy the best in banditry from the crime merchant. And crime plots. Green provides aspiring criminals with blueprints, escape plans, and even a little free, if penny pinching, advice. I suggest you use ammonia instead of tear gas in the event it's necessary, he tells one pair of customers. Ammonia is cheaper. But the crime merchant's skinflint ways are his downfall. He fails to switch the license plate on a stolen truck, leading Gordon Summers and Red Crandall, ex-commandos who wage war on crime as the Black Raiders, directly to his door. I didn't think it was worth the trouble or expense to acquire new license plates, he explains to an outraged client. Additionally, his much-vaunted ammonia proves to be less effective than the tear gas. Even his death traps cut corners, leaving the Black Raiders in a steam room to die. He ties their hands with cheap rawhide straps, which expand in the humidity and allow the heroes to escape. The crime merchant is taught a vital lesson articulated by one of the Black Raiders. His cutthroat methods didn't work in crime any better than they did in business, he tells an arresting officer. In the end, the crime merchant undersold himself.
All through that.
Yeah.
All right. I don't care how you feel about the politics here. Me and Pogo have been hearing this man since the 70s, so I could use this one. All right.
Yeah.
So you're looking for a new place for your group here. I know this great place here. It's a nice dome shape. It's got some big windows here. Now, it's in the swamp. It's in the swamp, but it's a good hiding spot. I can sell it for you cheap. It'll be huge. It'll be tremendous. You'll love it.
It even looks scary. It looks like a mask of doom. How about that? Oh, there you go. How about that? All right.
Like I said,
all right.
We've
here
been
we
hearing,
go.
We've been hearing Trump longer before 2016, so don't give us any flack.
Long before he had aspirations of becoming a politician. Okay. Next up, we go to the Silver Age. This is an enemy of the Shadow. He debuted in The Shadow number 8 of Archie Adventure Series, September 1965. His vulnerability, deep psychoanalysis. Before the game begins, understand this. I, the insidious Elasto, hate myself. I guess we're speaking of Elasto.
Perfect time.
When Archie Comics. What was that? Yes. Good timing on that one. When Archie Comics picked up the license to the... Oh, shut up! Stop telling me about your D&D character. God damn it. It's getting on the act. When Archie Comics picked up the license to the ultra-violent pulp hero, The Shadow, they made a few changes. They altered his costume from a black slouch hat and cloak to a more superheroic blue and green skin-tight ensemble. They also gave him a new career as a super spy. And, most important, for our purposes, they assigned him an all-new rogues gallery, including Elasto, a super stretchy supervillain with a split personality. In Elasto's debut, a sinister tycoon offers several of the Shadow's previous foes a cool million and the right to unmask the legendary do-gooder if they kill the hero. As the new kid on the block, Elasto has to wait his turn against the Shadow. But he is given the first opportunity to introduce himself and share his origin. I got the stretching ability as an FBI scientist, he explains, when there was an explosion during an experiment. Despite his body being knocked backwards and his clothes in flames, Elasto still found time to think. Gasp! I can stretch or retract to any degree. Extraordinary. But the explosion also gave him a split personality. Even as his evil nature causes him to commit crimes, a glimmer of decency within me is revolted by my despicable deeds. Meanwhile, the Shadow's more established foes get first shots at disposing of their hated enemy. The Shadow faces and handily defeats the Radiation Rogue, Attila the Hunter, the mad descendant of Attila the Hun, Dr. Demon, Hitler's leading scientist, and the Dimensionoid, who can transform himself into any number of geometrical monsters. Finally, it's Elasto's turn. The self-pitying punk proves to be the most effective, easily capturing the hero in his stretched-out hand, boasting about his quote-unquote limitless powers of elasticity. Elasto avows, through crocodile tears, I abhor violence. Before I smother you to death within my enfolding clutch, I want you to know this truly grieves me. The Shadow zeroes in on Elasto's boast and challenges the sinister stretcher to prove that he's, quote-unquote, not all bad. Elasto honors the final wish of a dying man and begins to rapidly grow taller and increasingly thinner. He narrates his journey as he passes through the layers of the Earth's atmosphere. the troposphere, the stratosphere, the ionosphere, and then my illimitable elasticity will extend me beyond into the exosphere. And then he passes out from lack of oxygen, landing in a heap at the shadow's feet, signals the end of Alasto's ignoble career.
And Alasto will be played by Alan Alda. Well, I could just wrap you up here and just take care of you. And then at the next second, why does it people's lives have to be so easily snuffed out?
All right. We got one more. One more for tonight from the modern age. All right.
Okay.
This one is an enemy of.
These are the ones that usually stings a few people because they go like, oh, God, I remember this one.
That's right. Oh, God. This one is an enemy of Black Lightning. Created by Mike W. Barr and Ron Randall. He debuted in Batman and the Outsiders, number 21. DC Comics, May 1985. No relation to Walkman, the 8-track ace, Dick Trolla, the human turntable.
Oh, no.
His quote, if a man won't bring these thumbs down, the ghetto blaster will.
I knew it.
He knows this one. I'm talking none other than Ghetto Blaster. You can say this in Ghetto Blaster's favor. He does exactly what his name promises. For all his faults, he blasts ghettos. And you can't take that away from him. Ghetto Blaster harkens back to a trend in comics when writers clearly named a villain after something sitting on their desk or stored in the hall closet, like the Calculator, Calendar Man, and the Living Eraser. He's lucky he wasn't named Boombox. Boasting a suit of armor that emits destructive beams of pure sound, Ghetto Blaster is capable of bringing a building crashing to earth, and the targets of his ire are, in fact, buildings, slums to be more specific. In this fashion, Ghetto Blaster becomes something of a folk hero to the residents of Bryantown, a fictional New York neighborhood visited by schoolteacher Jefferson Pierce, who secretly is the superhero Black Lightning. Seeking a truant student, Pierce instead finds a man dressed like an Academy Award statuette knocking down abandoned buildings. It's only natural that he should take the opportunity to change into his crime-fighting togs and intervene. What Black Lightning received for his efforts is a lecture delivered by Ghetto Blaster as nearby residents cheer him on. You know, protect these fire traps, he asks the hero. The adulation of the crowd, he adds, the man says he can't tear them down, can't put up housing because of their rules. Lightning eventually defeats his foe before a gathered crowd, and we learn that clearing the inner city of dangerous slums is the least of the baddies' concerns. 10 years earlier, he had been a common thief and hidden a fortune in stolen cash inside the cornerstone of a new building. Then he suffered a concussion during a prison fight and forgot where he'd put the money. So he took to destroying buildings in the hopes of stumbling across the ill-gotten gains. The Blaster's confession omits compelling details like how he acquired sonic weapons capable of raising an entire city block. But the crowd disperses and the shamed villain is hauled off for another trip to the big house. Okay. Though obviously a well-intentioned attempt to illustrate the plight of an impoverished inner city, Ghetto Blaster's storyline, and frankly his name, is ham-fisted and riddled with unfortunate stereotypes. His vocabulary seems to begin and end with brother and the man. Oddly, Black Lightning practically guarantees that a new fortune hunter will plague the neighborhood, referring to the hidden loot. Lightning concludes, we'll find it when we get rid of these thumbs. Then we'll all be richer in more ways than one. And there you have it for this week's entries from the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains.
And you could just see Batman looking at Black Lightning going.
Yeah. because it was from an issue of Batman and the Outsider.
And the Outsider,
so.
Yep. Oh, God,
and
that was
painful. For those of you, that's right, watching TV this weekend, the road to WrestleMania has begun. The Royal Rumble was Saturday night.
Yep.
And as predicted, so predictable, the men's Royal Rumble winner, Cody Rhodes.
Also predictable. He's going after Roman Reigns.
Gee, like he has a choice because he's got both belts. But which one? Or will he be allowed to go after both? Or will they finally split the two belts up? Rhea Ripley is the first female to go from number one to number 30. I mean, to finish, you know, go from number one to win it all for the women's side.
Which brings up the question, why is she in the Judgment Day?
I think they needed a woman. They wanted a badass.
Well, I mean, she's doing much better than the other three.
She's the instigator right now. It's like, think about it. When the guys are just out there, she goes, go ahead, try and hit me. Hit a woman. Hit a woman.
I mean, not only that here, matches-wise, performance-wise, you look
none of the other three could win the Rumble. She won it from number one.
And Dominic,
the one she's hanging out with, he's been told by every wrestling official, you know, in the higher up in the company, he needs to start working out big time. He's been told that for the last 2 months.
I mean, she went to being the female part so they could beat up the women, too. She may as well just be, you know, the Ric Flair of the Horsemen or the Triple H of DX. You know, she's the best of the bunch.
They have said she's like running the show there. Behind the scenes.
I just say, you know, get her out. Let her go on her own. She wants to be a face. She wants to be a heel. Fine. Just get her out of the Judgment Day.
I don't know. We will see. I mean, Edge is back now, so. And Beth Phoenix was back yesterday, so.
Yeah, and what? It was like, and who brought them down? It was Rhea Ripley.
Yeah. So we shall see. And congratulations to whatever his name is. Apparently, they took Daniel Bryan's or Bryan Danielson's record away because he went to AEW. Walter now has the record for the longest time spent in the Rumble.
And for those who did watch going like, what the hell happened to Rey Mysterio? He actually got injured on SmackDown.
Yes.
It was an actual thing. It was an actual injury. But you know they're going to play up that storyline of grabbing the mask.
Right. Well, you know what's funny? He never entered the Rumble, and they said Cody Rhodes, when he left the match, he jumped over the top rope.
And now you just made me realize one thing. We're going to see the return
Rey Mysterio
of Curtis.
Still in.
We're going to see Curtis Axel return.
Axelmania. Axel may go. Rey Mysterio is the real winner. Rey Mysterio won the Rumble.
Now, if they
bring
if they bring the micro powers, I'll be happy if they bring Curtis Axel.
That's right. Or how about this one? Brock Lesnar got paid $3 million for 3 minutes worth of work that night.
Mm-hmm. I did notice
for those following,
I did notice there was one person missing.
Who?
We didn't have enough comedy during that whole thing. Where was truth? Where was our truth? Anyway.
He hasn't been around in weeks. I don't know. But people wondering about The Rock, he's just very busy. Some people say he's not in shape. No, he's just very busy in Hollywood. I watched the press conference afterwards. And Triple H is funny. Because he goes, well, according to you guys, he's not in shape. He goes, according to him, he's just busy as all hell right now. So he goes, have you seen his photos on Instagram? He looks pretty in shape to me. But...
And AFK.
And, of course, Sami Zayn. He finally had enough of the bloodline. Took matters into his own hand. Chair shot heard around the world.
Whoever is writing that storyline, give him a goddamn.
Oh my.
Give him her a raise.
Oh, my God. That was brilliant writing. Sammy woke up finally. And then to top it off, Jey Uso, who brought it. Right, Jimmy Uso, who befriended Sammy to begin with, was the first one to beat him up. And Jay, who
did not trust,
remember when he came in, right, he said, I had no, you know what that was? Do you remember when he came back and he was like, he wasn't into the whole Roman thing? They said that shows all those times he doubted Roman. And he was telling Jimmy that Roman's a bully and this and that. And all that resurfaced. And he watched what they did to Sammy. He's like, I'm out of here.
But, like I said, whoever's writing that storyline for the bloodline bit,
yeah,
give him a raise. Raise.
So that was just great. That was just like 2 years of storylining coming to the surface with Jimmy and Jay.
I mean, once you saw the handing of the chair, you know, they could have played it up. They could have made a Shakespearean performance saying that Sammy's going to hit him. We kind of knew it. But two,
right.
Just how they did it. Oh, finally. Like I said, whoever writing that storyline. Now, about my raise. Just go, yeah.
Because I have a feeling anybody else handcuffed to that rope, he would have hit. The fact it was Kevin Owens, no. And he begged and pleaded with him, enough is enough. But that was just... And Baron Corbin, the record... For the fastest elimination, 7 seconds.
No. Someone had it shorter, much shorter. I mean, for a while,
oh,
it was Jerry the King Lawler. Then,
well, he had the fastest elimination that night.
Mm-hmm.
On the women's side, they had a fast elimination.
Chelsea Green.
Oh, that's right. She had the record, like 3 seconds. Like, she just walked in, and the second she walked in, she got thrown out by Rhea, right?
Mm.
Wasn't Rhea Ripley?
And did anyone else notice the AEW theme playing for Chelsea Green? Talk about a jab.
Was that an AEW thing, or was that just
her
theme?
It was supposed to be hers, but it was AEW.
Oh, shit.
Somebody had a little fun. Must be a hint that they must have got an AEW signed up. And I don't mean Cody.
Well, I think another one's supposed to be coming, so.
Well, that's what I mean. I think that was a case of, let's just give him a little hint.
Yeah. Okay, we got 4 minutes left, according to Mordecai. So we'll take this time. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. You guys rock. Without you guys, it would just be me and Mad Viking talking about this stuff anyway by ourselves. Better to have people here helping us. Watch those superhero movies, superhero TV shows, genre stuff on all the streaming channels, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And have some fun. Oh, okay.
Meanwhile,
my friend wrote back when I said be like Miyamoto Usagi or combo both, and he wrote back he would like to quest to become a Usagi Ronin type. He's only level 1. Okay. There you go. That could be his quest.
Okay.
Anything you'd like to say in closing, sir?
Well, it's a little early because we still got about 3 minutes left.
Okay, we'll just make sure.
All right, well.
Okay, we can wait.
Let's see. Knowing that you are, your football situation, are you going to be doing a show after Super Bowl?
What, you mean right after the Super Bowl or the day night after?
The day after.
I should be, well, yeah, because I should be home that day.
All right.
After what I told you.
I wanted to be sure.
Yeah, we could do a show.
If it was the Giants and they lost, I know you'd be going like, we're not doing a thing.
Yeah. And once they can, oh, I got to bring this up really quick. Did you hear what happened with the Empire State Building last night?
Oh, the turn, yes.
Oh, my God.
In New York City.
I don't
City,
know
who
the hell.
And in New York City.
They
the
lit
Empire
up.
State, Eagle
they
colors.
Lit up the Empire State Building, green and white for the Eagles, and red and white for the Chiefs. I can understand it, but how dare you? This is Giants country, and you lit it up for the Giants rivals? Are you friggin' kidding me?
The ones that took the Giants out.
Yeah, and it's there are rivals. Are you fucking kidding me? You know that in Philly, they wouldn't do that for us. I'm sure heads are going to roll over this one. Heads are rolling. We want an investigation. Who the hell did this shit? I'm looking into this for next week.
Well, I know three Congress people that's probably looking for a committee.
Yeah, right. I'm not hiring Pelosi and Schumer. Fuck them. Oh, I think we should just let it go. It was very nice of them. And then, yeah, shut the fuck up, Schumer. All right, thank you all for tuning in tonight. You guys rock. Go ahead, say it now.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. And stick around for the Greatest Generation podcast. And I'll see you all Wednesday night on Dawn Radio for Bunny Night, the movies in the Viboro Bay Powerhouse Theater. And where are you going to host the Greatest Generation podcast?
Yeah. Once
we host? Yeah.
Okay. It's all set up and ready to go.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
All right, folks. Thank you for tuning in. If you're interested in playing D&D 5th edition, get in touch with me. Talk to you later. Good night. I think that's it.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Good show. Talk to you later. Thank you for co-hosting.
Yep.
I'll let you get to it. I'm signing off. Let me end the show, end the episode. I'm ending the episode right now. Good night.
Yep.
See you Wednesday. Thank you. Yep.